This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طيب الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خير for coming, and this is the last lecture in this series, inshallah. Tonight we'll be talking about دابة الأرض والنار, the beast of the land and the fire that will appear at the end, just before the day of judgment. So these two signs were mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said in the famous hadith that was narrated by Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, and the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, in which he mentioned 10 signs, and these signs also were mentioned in some other ahadith, so we'll talk about them tonight inshallah. So the beast of the land will be one of the major signs before the Day of Judgment. And this creature will appear when the sun rises from the west. So they will appear at the same day, in the same day, together. Rasulullah was not sure. He said if one of them would appear, then the other one will come right away behind it. And we Muslims have to believe in these signs, because Dabbat al-Arth, the beast of the land, was clearly mentioned in the Qur'an, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mentioned in the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. So this is a clear ayah in the Qur'an, that at the end of time, there will be a beast or creature that will appear and it will speak to people. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when the word is fulfilled against them, the unjust, al-zalimun, we shall produce from the earth a beast to face them. And it will speak to them that mankind did not believe with assurance in our signs. And this is in Surah An-Naml. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, وَقْعُ الْقَوْلِ عَلَيْهِمْ. He's trying to make tafsir, يُفَسِّرْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. قَالْ وَقْعُ الْقَوْلِ عَلَيْهِمْ يَكُونُ بِمَوْتِ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَذَهَابِ الْعِلْمِ وَرَفْعِ الْقُرْآنِ. Then وَاصَلَ رضي الله عنه قال, أَكْثِرُوا تِلَاوَةَ الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ. فأصحابه الذين حوله قالوا, هذه المصاحف ترفع, فكيف بما في صدور الرجال؟ فقال رضي الله عنه, يسرى عليه ليلا فيصبحون منه قفرا وينسون لا إله إلا الله ويقعون في قول الجاهلية وأشعارهم وذلك حين يقع القول عليهم. هذا الكلام كلام ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه موجود في تفسير القرطبي. So he said the word will be fulfilled against them when religious scholars are gone, they pass away, and authentic knowledge disappears. There will be no authentic knowledge on earth. And the Qur'an is taken away. And then he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, recite the Qur'an now. Take advantage. The Qur'an is still exists. He said, recite the Qur'an before it is lifted up. So they said, the mushafs would be raised up. That was the understanding of his friends or companions. Or the Qur'an will be erased from the mushafs, the other option, wallahu ta'ala alam. But they said, what will happen to the Qur'an that was memorized by men? So he said, it will be lifted up in one night, that not even one verse, he said, so that not even one verse will remain on earth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually Ibn Mas'ud was confirming what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a different hadith. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, that was collected by Ibn Majah and Al-Hakim. والحاكم يقول هو صحيح على شرط مسلم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يدرس الإسلام كما يدرس وشي الثوب حتى لا يدرى ما صيام ولا صلاة ولا نسك ولا صدقة. ثم قال, ويسرى على كتاب الله في ليلة فلا يبقى في الأرض منه آية, وتبقى طوائف من الناس, الشيخ الكبير والعجوز, يقولون أدركنا آباءنا, يقولون لا إله إلا الله فنحن نقولها. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he said, this is something that will happen at the end of time. He said, Islam will disappear, just like the colors of a dress, you know, fade away. And he said, until people will not even know what is fasting, what is prayer, and what is the right, what are the rights of Hajj, or what is charity. And he said, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be lifted up, this is at the end of time, in one night. So that not even one verse will remain, and a group of old people will remain who will say, you know, we found our forefathers saying, La ilaha illallah. So the only thing that will be left with them is the statement of La ilaha illallah. That's it. They don't know about any salat, any zakat, any hajj. And here comes the importance of seeking knowledge and memorizing al-ilm and teaching our kids. Because we don't want our children or grandchildren to face this situation, right? So basically, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, you know, this will happen. When this happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow for this beast or this dabba to appear. What are the other ahadith that mention the dabba or the beast of the land? Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حديثا لم أنسه بعد سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أول الآيات خروجا طلوع الشمس من مغربها وخروج الدابة على الناس ضحا وأيهما كانت قبل صاحبتها فالأخرى على أثرها قريبا. وهذا الحديث في صحيح مسلم في كتاب الفتن. So in this hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Amr رضي الله عنه, he said, I memorized from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم a hadith which I have not forgotten. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the first of the signs will come is the rising of the sun from the west. Of course, this is confusing here, I know, for those who were attending with us this program from the beginning, from the first halaqa, the first lecture, we studied or we said that the first sign that will appear will be the appearance of a Dajjal. Right? We said Al-Mahdi, then Al-Mahdi is not a major sign, even though some scholars believe that he could be one of the major signs, but the majority of scholars, they said Al-Mahdi is one of the last minor signs. So then at his time will appear a Dajjal, then Isa will descend, and then Ya'juj and Ma'juj, right? And then we mentioned the other signs. So we will solve this problem at the end, inshallah. I will tell you about some ahadith that are confusing, which one is first, which one is the last. We'll solve this problem at the end, inshallah. But this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So Rasulullah ﷺ is saying in this hadith that the first sign that will happen is the rising of the sun from the place of its setting, in al-Maghrib, from the west, and the emergence of the beast upon the people. And he said, whichever of these two occurs before the other, then the second one is right behind it. Al-Imam Ahmad rawa hadith sahahahu al-Allama al-Albani rahmatullahi alayh an Abi Umama yarfa'uhu ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala takhruju ad-dabbatu fatasimu an-nasa ala kharatimihim, yani unufihim al-kuffar thumma yaghmuruna fikum hatta yashtari ar-rajulu al-ba'ira fayaqulu mimman ishtaraytahu fayaqulu min ahad al-makhtiyin. Hadha al-hadith mawjud fi musnad al-Imam Ahmad wa sahahahu al-Albani. He said the beast will appear and then it will seal or it will brand the nose of every non-believer until their number increases, and a man would buy a camel from someone, one of them. And it will be said, from whom you bought it? And he will say, from one of those who were branded or sealed. And this hadith is found in Sahih Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Ibn Hajar radiyallahu rahmatullahi alayhi, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the one who explained Sahih al-Bukhari, tried to establish a relationship between the rising of the sun and the appearance of this beast. So he said, the wisdom in the beast appearing after the sun rising from the west, he said the door of repentance will be closed at the time when the sun rises from the west. The door of repentance will be closed. So he said, thus the beast will emerge to distinguish between the believers and the non-believers, completing the aim of closing the door of repentance. That is his statement, the statement of Al-Allama Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayh. Now, the task of this beast would be to distinguish between believers and the non-believers, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. They said the ulama, it will touch the faces of the believers, they will become bright and luminous, and this is the sign of their iman. This will be a sign of their iman at the time. And as for the kafir, they said it will seal his nose and it will be a sign of his kufr. Nas'Allah salama wal afiyah. It will also speak to people and blame them for not believing in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the nature of this beast? Al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi used to believe that this beast will be the animal or the young of the she-camel that appeared as a miracle at the time of Prophet Salih alayhi salam. That is his opinion. There are some other scholars who believe that this beast could be al-Jassasa that is found in the famous hadith of al-Dajjal. When we talked about the famous hadith of al-Dajjal, we said there was an animal that was talking to people, telling them about the place of the Dajjal. This is the second opinion. There are some other opinions, but all these opinions are invalid. They are weak. They don't have a strong evidence. So the ulama, they said, what we should believe in as Muslims is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of times, He will send a beast to face people. It will speak to them and blame them for not believing in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. We don't know the nature of this beast. If you go to some books of tafsir and some other resources, you'll find amazing things. People talking about the description of this beast in amazing ways. Yani people saying it will have multiple heads and multiple hands, and but there is no proof for this kind of description. Even the location of its appearance, most of the hadith mentioned that it will be Mecca, and some of them mentioned that it will appear in the Masjid al-Haram, but all the hadith are not very strong. This hadith that mentioned the location in which this beast will appear are not very strong. So Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. But before I begin and I talk about the second sign, which is the fire, I should say that this beast has nothing to do with the beasts that are mentioned in the Old Testament. There are two beasts, one of them it will appear from the sea and the other one from the land. And they have their own description there in the Old Testament, in the Bible. So this beast that is mentioned in the Quran, as I said, we believe in it. It's mentioned in the Quran, mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, but it has nothing to do with the beast that is mentioned in the Bible. Imran Hussein is a famous Muslim speaker who talks about the signs of the Day of Judgment, believes that this beast is the state of Israel. One brother, he told me this is an aggressive interpretation, and it is, indeed. It is an aggressive interpretation. He believes that this is something that I got it from his website. I'm not just making this up. I got it from his website. And he made a statement there. He said that Safar al-Hawali is a famous scholar from Mecca. And we know his aqidah, we know his knowledge, the level of his knowledge. A knowledgeable scholar from the city of Mecca. He's saying, Imran Hussein is saying, that Safar al-Hawali holds the view that the beast is the Zionist movement. There is no proof for these kind of interpretations, and I don't think that Sheikh Safar al-Hawali holds this view. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Sheikh Safar has a website. We can go to his website and check there, but I didn't have time to double check. But I don't believe that Sheikh Safar will hold this view. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, talking about the fire, which is the last major sign to appear before the Day of Judgment, and it will emerge in the area of Yemen, in Aden. You're familiar with Aden these days? The fighting is going on there between the Houthis and the troops of Saleh, the ex-president and the Tahaluf, the union, the Muslim union between Saudi Arabia and some other Muslim scholars. Anyway, so what will be the job of this fire? It will drive people to the place of their mahshar. And what is the place of their mahshar or their assembly at the end of time? It is a sham, the area of a sham. So this fire will force them to move to that area, will force them. And this fire, as I said, was mentioned in the same hadith that I mentioned, in which Rasulullah SAW mentioned 10 ayat. And in this hadith, hadith Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari, he said, وَآخِرُ ذَٰلِكَ. So he made this fire the last of these major signs. قَالْ وَآخِرُ ذَٰلِكَ نَارٌ تَحْشُرُ النَّاسَ أَوْ تَطْرُدُ النَّاسَ إِلَى مَحْشَرِهِمْ. He said, the end of which a fire would burn out from Yemen and would drive people to their place of assembly. So here in this hadith in Sahih Muslim is saying that this fire will be the last among these major signs, right? But there is another hadith that says this fire will be the first sign. And the second hadith is in Bukhari. So inshallah, as I said, we will solve this problem very soon inshallah. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari عن Anas radiallahu anhu أن عبد الله بن سلام. عبد الله بن سلام was a Jewish rabbi who lived in Medina. And when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم came to Al-Madinah, he came and he went to him and he met him and he accepted Islam. Radiallahu anhu, with some other Jewish rabbis who accepted Islam at that time. But he is one, he's a famous Sahabi. He was a scholar, like he was a Jewish scholar, and he became, after he accepted Islam, he became a Muslim scholar. So, لما أسلم سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن مسائل منها ما أول أشراط الساعة. By the way, Abdullah ibn Salam, when he went to see Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he narrated many hadith. One of them, of course, this hadith here, when he asked him, after he accepted Islam, he started asking him some questions. So here we're interested in the part in which he asked him about the signs, or the first sign of the Day of Judgment. Before that, he said, I went to see, to meet the Prophet of Allah. He did not believe in him at that time. He was not a Muslim. And he said, when Rasulullah ﷺ just arrived to the city of Al-Madinah, and Abdullah ibn Salam, he said, I heard him saying. Of course, first he's saying, I looked at his face and I concluded right away that his face is not the face of a liar. That was his conclusion in the beginning. And then he said, the first thing that he said, that Rasulullah said, Ya ayyuhan nas, he said, At'imu al-ta'am, wa afshu al-salam, wa silu al-arham, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. This hadith is amazing. It's amazing in a sense that Rasulullah ﷺ, I asked many people. I did some courses about seerah and everything. Not here in this place, but I asked them, what is amazing about this hadith? There is a miracle here. Psychological miracle. It's not about these things. It's something that is in between the line that you have to derive. Look into it. Coming from Mecca, he was running away, escaping death. The Meccans, after Rasulullah ﷺ left the city of Mecca, they said, whoever brings Muhammad ﷺ alive or dead, he will have 100 camels. And actually one of them was able to catch our Prophet ﷺ with Abu Bakr. Who is he? Suraq ibn Malik. And he accepted Islam. And he hid his Islam, his conversion, and he went back to Mecca and he told them, you know, he gave them a false information about the whereabouts or the location of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was protecting him at the end. So he was looking for him to catch him, bring him back, to take the 100 camels, accepted Islam. Now he's protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But anyway, think about it. Think about these people were trying to kill him. He came to his house to kill him. They made a plan. A member from every tribe, many tribes. Every tribe sent one member. So he said his blood will be divided between al-qaba'il, between different tribes. They found his cousin Ali, but they didn't want to kill Ali, radiyallahu anhu. They were not interested in Ali, interested in killing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's someone who is escaping death, going to Al-Madinah. People are after him, looking for him. They tortured his companions. They killed some of them. They took their properties. They took their houses. They boycotted them in the Shi'b Makkah, in the valley, in a valley beside Makkah for 3 years. He was suffering with his people for 13 years. Now, he just arrived to Al-Madinah. You expect him, if he was a regular human being, not a prophet, he would say, what? We will take revenge from these people. We will organize a big army to defeat them. We will do this and that, right? You expect him to be talking about his enemy. His enemy was behind him. So Rasulullah ﷺ arrived in Medina, he's not thinking about the Meccans at all. They are not in his mind. He started teaching right away, teaching Islam. Ya ayyuhan nas, at'imu at'am, or afshu salam. Spread the greetings of peace. Afshu salam. Wa at'imu at'am, feed, give food to the needy. Wasilu al-arham, keep the ties of kinship. And صَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ, offer the night prayer while people are asleep. تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامُ, you will go into Jannah in a peaceful way. Beautiful hadith, but what is amazing about it is the timing. The timing, if it was someone else, he would be talking about his enemy, about the suffering that he faced and the hardship that he faced in Mecca, and his maybe plans to take revenge, right? But Rasulullah ﷺ is not thinking about these things at all. He is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyway, Abdullah ibn Salam, when he accepted Islam, he said, "Aslama fa sa'ala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an ba'd al-masail." Min bayn hadhihi al-masail, ma awwal ashrat as-sa'a? This hadith is confusing too, as I said, but we'll solve it at the end. Ma awwal ashrat as-sa'a? قال نار تحشر الناس من المشرق إلى المغرب. He didn't say from Yemen. And this is in Bukhari. Hadith Anas in Sahih Bukhari. Anas narrated this hadith. He said when Abdullah ibn Salam accepted Islam, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about what is the first sign, some masail, one of them, what is the first sign of the Day of Judgment. Or he meant what is the first among the major signs. We're not talking about minor signs anymore now. Talking about major signs. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, it is a fire that drives people from east to the west. So he did not mention Yemen. And he mentioned in this hadith that it will be the first sign. The hadith of Hudhaifa, Ibn Asid al-Ghifari, he said it will be the last one, right? So now we need to solve these problems, and it's not my solution, actually, the ulama, there are some ulama who looked into this hadith, and they came up with the conclusion. So they divided this minor, major sign, they said they will take, this major signs will take place in a period of time. And they divided this period of time into two phases. If you want, we can divide it into three phases for the sake of clarification. So they said, in the beginning we said, we went with the opinion of the majority of scholars who said that the first sign will be Ad-Dajjal. So they said the first actually group of these signs would be Ad-Dajjal, the descent of Isa alayhi salam, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And these signs indicate that the hour is approaching. It could be a matter of years. It's not very close. So here we're talking about one phase in which, you know, these major signs are happening. Why? Because if we say that the sign, the rising of the sign from the west is the first one, that means Tawbah will not be accepted. But we know at the time of Isa alayhi salam, he will be inviting people to Islam. People will be entering Islam. If we say that the Tawbah, the close, the door of Tawbah will be closed, what's the point of Isa inviting other people to Islam, to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is no point, right? So here the ulama, they said no. It is actually the Dajjal, and this is the, wallahu alam, the majority, the opinion of the majority of scholars. And this group of signs will happen within a certain period of time. We said Isa alayhi salam will stay most likely 7 years. Al-Imam al-Mahdi will rule 7 to 9 years, rule the Muslim Ummah. So between 7 to 9 years, these major signs will happen. Wallahu ta'ala alam. They said the second phase, it will include the rising of the sun from the west, and it will include the beast. And here they said, at this phase, the door of Tawbah will be closed, and these signs indicate that the hour is very close. لأنه في الحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وكفي الناس العمل, يعني he said people, the deeds, the past deeds will be enough for people after the door of Tawbah is closed. So that means that the hour is very close, or the day of judgment is very close. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. The first, third phase, if wanna, for the sake of clarification, is this fire here. That was described as the last in one hadith, last sign, and the first sign in another hadith. So it is the last of the ten. But it is the first sign of the actual hour, when the hour is taking place, because when this fire will be helped, it will be forcing people to go into the area of assembly or in a sham, there are people who will delay their travel, and the malaika will come and drag them to the area of a sham. So that means we are dealing with angels here. So the day of judgment is very soon, very close. This assembly, by the way, is not the assembly of the day of judgment, no. This assembly will come, will happen before, in this dunya, in this life, before the trumpet is sounded for the first time. Before the blowing of the trumpet for the first time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar talks about two blowings of trumpet. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is talking about two blowings. So they will get together, those who are alive at that time, they will be forced to get together in the area of Hashem. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the command to Israfil alayhi salam to blow the trumpet, and everyone will faint. Everyone will swoon away, and then they will stay 40. Is it 40 days or 40 years or 40 months? We are not sure. There is a hadith sahih in the Sahihain, hadith Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said between the two blowings is the period of 40. They told him 40 years. He said, I'm not sure. 40 months, he said, I'm not sure. 40 days, he said, I'm not sure. But the ulama, they said the bodies of the people will decay during that period. And the only thing that will stay is the tailbone. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a rain, and then the bodies of the people will be growing again like plants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, Allah is able to do all things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send souls to get together with their bodies, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command Israfil to blow into the trumpet for the second time, and everyone will be standing up waiting for the judgment to begin. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaj'alana min ahli al-jannah. This is a dua that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. Now the second question here, the ulama, they said there is a hadith that said the fire will appear from Aden, from Yemen, and the other hadith, it will be driving people from the east to the west. They said there is no contradiction here. We said that this fire will appear from Yemen, but it will be spread to every corner in this earth. And it will be, most of the people who will be in the west, they will be in the east, will be going towards the direction of the west, because they said the Sham is located in the western side, if your reference point is the east, Iraq and Afghanistan and China and all these places. So most of the people will be coming from that area. Wallahu ta'ala alam. What will happen to people in North America? I'm not sure. To tell you the truth, I have no clue. I know people will ask this question. Allahu alam. North America is not mentioned in the hadith. So I don't know what will happen to us. It's a very serious matter, Ikhwan. Yeah, but this is what will happen before the Day of Judgment. People will be assembled in the area of Hashem. Before I start my, I finish my halaqa, I promised a brother who asked me, he said, if I don't want to witness this these events or any fitna, is there any dua that I can say? Or so I brought a dua here with the translation in English and transliteration. But I have only 20 copies. So feel free to take your copy at the end of the halaqa. But if you are interested in this dua, and we don't have enough copies, then you can leave your email. I'll send it to you as an email attachment, inshallah. I saved it in my computer here. The dua said, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat wa tarka al-munkarat wa hubba al-masakeen wa an taghfira li wa tarhamani wa idha aradta biqawmin fitnatan faqbidni ilayka ghayra maftoon. This is the هذا هو الشاهد. This is what we want. وأسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربني إلى حبك. The meaning of this dua, O Allah, I ask you to enable me to do good deeds and to avoid evil deeds and to love the poor, and I ask you to forgive me and to have mercy on me. And this is what we want. And if you want to try people, then take me to you and try it, or cause me to die and try it, يعني without any fitna. And I ask you for your love and the love of those who love you and the love of a deed that gets me closer to your love. This hadith was collected by Imam Tirmidhi and some other scholars, classified as sahih. And the transliteration is here. 20 copies. You can take your copy. As I said, if you need it and you couldn't get a copy, you can come to me, leave your email. I'll send it to you, inshallah, as an email attachment. Jazakumullahu khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك